Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Republic of Ireland team will be gearing up for their World Cup 2022 qualifying campaign at the end of this month. Stephen Kenny already has many talented players in his squad, but should we still be trying to entice foreign-born players to play for the Irish team under that granny rule? I'm joined by Eamon Dunphy, former footballer, presenter of the Stand podcast, and also former Irish international Tony Cascarino. You're both very welcome, Eamon. I'll start with you because the big news that we heard last night, Ireland is going to be part of this joint bid, potentially joint bid to hold the 2030 FIFA World Cup. We'll have England, Scotland, the Welsh involved as well, Northern Ireland Football Associations. What do you make? Do you think we have what it takes to get it?
Yes, we do, particularly with the other nations involved. It would be great for Ireland. We have the Aviva Stadium, of course, maybe Croke Park. So we have the infrastructure required. It would be fabulous. And we wouldn't have to qualify, which is always a problem. I think the host nations automatically qualify. I think it's a wonderful idea.
That's a terrible way to get into the World Cup, isn't it, Tony?
Well,
Eamon's made a very valid point. I think it's quite nice to qualify for a tournament when you don't have to play any games. it would be wonderful. Whether we get one, I don't know, because we've found out that FIFA can go a completely different direction when people think they've got a chance, and suddenly you find, as Eamon said, we've got one of the best infrastructures in world football, not only in England, but in Ireland also. We've got some magnificent stadiums. You just mentioned two there. So, it's a hope. It's a big hope, but I'm always a bit suspicious around the choices of World Cups, I'm afraid.
All right, well, let's see what happens with that one. But I want to move on to the matter in hand now. Before we get your opinion on the granny rule and whether Stephen Kenny and the FAI should be trying to entice foreign-born players to play for Ireland, our reporter Barry Lenehan has been asking people in Phibsborough in Dublin, the home of Bose, whether Stephen Kenny should be invoking the granny rule more often or instead focusing on the players who are closer to home.
I mean, there's nothing coming through, like, you know, from our own base, like here in Ireland. Let's go back to the 80s when we started, or even to the 70s, when Chris Hughton and all these players came through, Andy Townsend. We're a small nation. You look at England. They tried to grab Ryan Giggs. He was Welsh. So look, you know, what goes around comes around. We're a small nation. We need them.
Do you not think we should be focusing more on homegrown talent, the League of Ireland players?
I'm a Shamrock Rovers supporter. I'm following Shamrock Rovers for 68 years. And I love the league. Absolutely love the league. But unfortunately, the quality from an international point of view is just not coming through. Like, they're doing it in the rugby, aren't they, as well? Like, you know, they're getting South Africans to play for us and whatever, like, you know, Australians to play.
To make our team better, I don't see why not. You'd have more people to choose from. But, I mean, I used to play when I was a kid, and, like, the talent that's here is really, really good.
What harm is it doing, you know, man? Me personally, I have no problem with it.
Some would argue we're right beside Dalymount Park here, that we should be focusing more on homegrown players, League of Ireland players, and picking those instead.
I don't think those players are meeting the same calibre as the players that we might get from England, for example. You don't see many players coming through the Irish ranks, you know what I mean?
That's not to say there isn't the quality in the League of Ireland. There's lots of really good players. You see the likes of Jack Byrne and Michael Duffy and a couple of others, like Graham Burke, getting included in the Irish squad. James Talbot was in. Like, it's nice to see Irish people playing for their country, but you would, as an Irish person, like to see people who are really passionate about Ireland and passionate about putting on the green jersey playing for Ireland, you know?
Paid dividends in the past. Look at some of the players we've gotten, the likes of Houghton, etc. So let's keep going.
When you see Stephen Kenny trying to entice the likes of, say, Patrick Bamford, what do you think of that?
All the better. He's proven to be a good Premiership player and could do well for Ireland. Let's face it, we need him. Robbie Keane has gone off the scene. We need something there to replace him.
Here in the shadow of Dalymount Park, you wouldn't prefer to see more local players involved in the team?
If they were there and up to standard, yes, but not there at the moment. We do what we can. We'll take what we can get.
So, Eamon, you see what Stephen Kenny said about this. I'm not in the business of persuading people to be Irish. Surely we should be persuading everybody to be Irish to come and play for us, because we want ultimately to win.
Yes, I agree. And we are a nation where emigration is part very much of our history. So there is a very large diaspora. And I don't see anything wrong with players with Irish blood playing for Ireland. Ray Houghton, that's one of the people on the Vox Pop mentioned there, John Aldridge, Mark Lawrence and Mick McCarthy, Jack Charlton himself, Kevin Sheedy, Andy Townsend. Tony would have played with all of those people. And anyone who has Irish blood should be qualified. In fact, in rugby, Claire, there used to be a three-year residency, and that was enough to qualify. And now that's been pushed out to 5 years, but you don't have to be Irish at all.
Yeah.
So I think we should be pragmatic. It served us well in the glorious years when Tony had played and Jack was in charge. So, yeah, I don't mind as long as there's a drop of Irish blood there.
Yeah, and do they have to be passionate about Ireland? Like, look at the Patrick Bamford example. You know, we're sort of waiting for the call-up for him to come from the England team. If it doesn't come, we'll take him. How do you feel about that?
I think the passion, if you look at the Ray Houghton, Ray scored the goal, put the ball in the English net. And Ray, you know, wasn't born in Ireland, he was born in Scotland, but he came from good Donegal stock. I think Mick McCarthy, Kevin Sheedy, all of those people, players, were very, very committed to playing for Ireland. They knew that they had Irish blood in them. And I think for a nation with such a history of emigration, forced emigration in much, in many of the cases, then there's no shame in drawing from our emigrant community.
Tony, where do you stand on that? Commitment and passion, are they the bars that we have to ask everybody to rise to? Or should it just be convenience? You know, you're Irish, you haven't made maybe the England team, you're welcome.
You've got to love it, Claire. You've got to want to be part of it. You've got to enjoy it. I can certainly speak on half of what every player that obviously Eamon spoke about there. We never lack desire. You've got to want to come and play for Ireland. It's look, many other countries, Claire, are doing this in the world of football. They followed on from what Jack was, the sort of pioneer of bringing players that had Irish ancestry. It worked brilliantly well. Was it a coincidence we qualified 88, 90, just missed out in 92, made 94? And there is a knock-on effect, Claire, of this, is that when you have success, the younger players and the grassroots football in Ireland experience watching, loving it, want to be part of that. You know, we then followed having Damien Duff, Robbie Keane, Shane Given, Richard Dunn, you know, many, many others that have come through because of the success of the first batch. So to me, if you don't do it, everyone else is doing it. And I don't think anybody would ever question our commitment to the cause. I had a manager called John Doherty, who was at Millwall, who Eamon would know. And he came and watched us play Spain on a Wednesday at Lansdowne Road. Watched the game. We beat Spain 1-0. And on the Friday, when I got back to the training ground, in the dressing with the rest of the lads, the Millwall boys, he looked at me and just threw a green shirt at me and said, "Play like you did for Ireland on Wednesday."
Aha. He saw the fire in the belly.
He said, "Play like that for me tomorrow."
I love it.
And that was, we loved it. We enjoyed it. And look, some people say, "Oh, you have a decision to make," or I never had a decision to make. The first opportunity came, I was like, "I'm going." You know, I had a very Irish upbringing. My granddad was from Mayo. I went to a Catholic school that was predominantly Irish in there. A lot of my friends were Irish, you know, Fitzpatrick, Highlands and O'Leary's. So I, to me, it was an opportunity. Do you know what? Every one of us felt like that.
Yeah, I just wonder about the lads who might be waiting for the call-up for England. It doesn't come and then they say, "Well, look, I have an Irish granny. I can play for the Ireland team." How do we feel about those players, Eamon?
Well, I would still be pragmatic. There are two players in that category now. Jack Grealish, who was qualified to play for us, and we made strenuous efforts to persuade him, but in the end, he decided not to, and he's on the brink of playing for England. Declan Rice is playing for West Ham. He's captain of West Ham. He's 22, I think. He's one of the best players in the world. We had him in our squad when Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill were in charge. We could have played Declan in a competitive match and he would have been ours. And it's a terrible loss to Irish soccer. So I think you have to basically, a good professional will always do his best when he pulls on the shirt. And I think we have to do what Jack did. We should check who's available, who has Irish ancestry, and if they qualify, playing, they're entitled to wait for an England call-up. Of course they are, because that means they'll make more money. It'll be better for their career.
Mm-hmm.
We must respect that. But at the same time, the way Jack Charlton got Ray Houghton and John Aldridge was he went to look for John Aldridge. He didn't realise that Ray was qualified and they were both playing for Oxford. And John said, yeah, I'll come and play, no problem. And by the way, Ray is qualified as well by the granny rule. He got Ray, and look at what Ray achieved. He scored a goal in Giants Stadium in 1994. And, of course, he scored a goal in Stuttgart in 1988 when we beat England.
Yeah, I wonder, is that happening still? That, you know, the FAI is still actively going out and looking at players like that and trying to entice them back?
Well, I think Stephen Kenny is really diligent. He's a really hard-working coach. He lives here. He knows the Irish game intimately, which is a big advantage. He knows what young players are coming through. But he'd be very foolish if he didn't cast an eye on players in England, playing in England, who qualify by the ancestry rule. And I don't think he would ignore a player of that, you know, with that lineage.
Yeah, he has said, Eamon, in the past that he wants players fully committed to the cause and he's not in the business of persuading people to be Irish. And I think from what you're saying, what you're both saying, that's key. It's that passion and that willingness to be part of the team that has to be there in the gut.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, Tony just referred to it. In Tony's time, on all the players that he's played with, his own qualification was very dubious, but he was a stalwart. And all the players, they love playing for Ireland. They love coming to Ireland. It's a different place, different atmosphere.
Sorry, Eamon, did you say Tony's eligibility to play for Ireland was very dubious?
Well, in his autobiography, which Paul Kimmich and he collaborated on, I thought there was some question of whether Tony was qualified to play for Italy or Malta or Ireland. I'm not sure. He'll tell you he's there.
Tony!
Yes. Well, it is true, Eamon. I mean, look, I found out I played 66 caps for Ireland and I was in Liechtenstein and the FAI came up to us and said, when you next play your next home game, we need you, all your birth certificates and, you know, your proof to play so we can give you an Irish passport. And so when I went to St Catherine's House in England to get my mum's birth certificates, my mum was adopted, which I never knew. My mum never knew. So it was a real, you know, I can remember the feeling of standing next to Kev Moran and Andy Townsend at the hotel in Dublin and saying, I can't believe it. Well, I found out my mum's parents are not her real parents, but she was adopted under the adoption law. So when I spoke about it in the book, I was talking how I felt at the time. The truth of the matter is that under the adoption laws, I could play for Ireland. But it was a very sad time for my mum because it was secondary, really, playing for Ireland at that time than my mum's issue because she now found out her mum and dad wasn't her mum and dad.
Absolutely. And what a thing to go through. But you know what? That goes back to the point. You spent all of your summers here. Your connection that you felt with Ireland was very deep, regardless of the circumstances of your birth.
Absolutely. My granddad was Irish. My mum was adopted and her name was Teresa O'Malley. I mean, you know, she married an Italian that immediately everyone suspects. Well, how does he qualify? And yet my mum's side was Teresa O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a huge connection. My granddad was a very important figure in my life. He was a Mayo man. He was very thick-skinned, quite hardcore in many senses. Didn't have much time for, as he would say, soccer. He was much into GA and hurling more. I'd experienced all this, and I was really, really proud to play for Ireland. And to be honest, I would, if you said to me, and I'd say this, we were having a pint together or a drink, I'd say it's the best decision I ever made playing for Ireland.
Yeah, I just have a lot of texts coming in here. Let's have a look at some of them. Tom says, what makes a player eligible to play for his or her country is that he cut his or her teeth playing the game from childhood in Ireland, regardless of birth. It's about the youth system. What do you say to that, Eamon?
Well, I agree with the idea that you have to promote the game in Ireland, and we need to nurture our young talent and play them and get the best out of them. There's nobody, I wouldn't question that at all. But I'd refer that person to what's going on with the Irish rugby team, for example, where 3 years residency qualified you, and this is through the golden age with Ronan O'Gara and other people, and now it's 5 years, they've adjusted it, but you still don't have to have an ancestry that is Irish. I think you can do both. If you're nurturing your own players at home, as you should be, and as we do, you can also look elsewhere to see if people are qualified. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, you see, you mentioned rugby, but what about cricket, says Noel? Half the English team is Irish and their cricket captain is a dub.
That's right.
See?
Yeah, it's true. I think you just need some connection with the country, some ancestral connection. And we are a nation of immigrants, really. We have our nation extends right across the world. You can't say only people living here. It's all of the people who've had to leave here for terrible reasons, poverty, famine, all of that stuff. We are a particular case with our diaspora spread all across the world. So we're entitled to bring them home if they're good enough to play.
All right. And just before I let you go, Tony, on that rugby residency rule, I mean, would that work in football?
Don't know, maybe. I'm not sure on that, Claire. It's, look,
someone who was here for three or 5 years living in Ireland.
You know, obviously the whole of the football world would have to change, and they have. I mean, if you take a country like Belgium, have got an incredibly good side. If you look at the amount of players they've had come through from African descent and now in their team, you know, they've used the rule through ancestry that has obviously improved them a hell of a lot. And many countries are doing this. It's not just in England, Ireland, Belgium. It's happening in South America. So I think if we had our own Pacific rule of 3 years, 5 years residency, I think we would be behind the eight ball. I think we'd be behind teams. And I think there's teams that are using it to the best of their advantage. Why? Because what happened to us in the late 80s was what Jack was doing, that we were the ones that pioneered, or Jack was, to bring in players that he had knew that had Irish blood in them, whether it was through the granny rule, he would do that. And we had a very successful period. And that breeds success further down the line, Claire.
Tony and Eamon, thank you both very much indeed for joining us. We're going to take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.